Bernie Sanders, despite the fact that he, you know, he's not young, he's not charming exactly. you wouldn't say that his great looks have.
Wow, and this is one of his surrogates. From First Look Media and Panoply, this is Politically Reactive. I'm Debbie Kamau Bell.
And I'm Hari Kondabolu.
The show where two comedians try to make sense of politics in America.
It's like a podcast Wikipedia for your election season, but with some funny jokes thrown in for good measure. And by funny, I mean absolutely filthy.
On today's show, we're going to talk to professional smart guy Robert Reich. He served as the Secretary of Labor during the Clinton administration. He was deep with the Occupy Wall Street movement.
By the way, I will believe that corporations are people when Georgia and Texas execute them.
He literally wrote the book on saving capitalism called Saving Capitalism. And he made a fake cop movie with Conan O'Brien.
This summer, Conan O'Brien and former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich are Detective Conan O'Brien and Detective former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich.
We're going to ask him about some of these presidential candidates' economic policies. What do we know? What do we need to know?
I want to know, could making America great again mean doing something crazy like implementing a universal basic income? Like what the Swiss just voted on.
It looks like Switzerland is saying no to universal basic income. Swiss media reports early results on Sunday show more than three-quarters of voters oppose the measure.
Also, the Swiss.
Whoa, okay.
Neutral mother. And lastly, as Bernie Sanders' flame starts to flicker, what can we learn from the burn?
Wow, you just pissed off millions of Bernie Sanders fans and the Swiss. It's all coming up on Politically Reactive. So everybody, welcome to Politically Reactive. Here's the deal with this interview, folks. We recorded a lot of interviews before the podcast got started. You call them banking episodes in the industry. Isn't that what it's called, Hari?
I believe that's correct.
And we also went up the political food chain pretty quickly. So we ended up getting to people we thought we'd have to wait till the podcast came out to get to. But Robert Reich said yes way sooner than we expected him to.
Yeah, and how are we not going to interview Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor? Like, the people want to hear from the former Secretary of Labor.
Yes, and the people really want to hear from him on our podcast.
Correct.
By I mean the people, I mean me and you.
Right. I mean, at the time that we were recording it, I think the fear was that it would just be me and you.
Yes, but, you know, now we're like number two on iTunes for under news and information podcasts.
Yeah, we're right under Serial. Here's the thing, though. I have a feeling Kamau's going to kill me over the next three or four episodes, and then rest of the season is to figure out whether it was Kamau who actually killed me.
But anyway, so we have this awesome conversation with Robert Reich. But we got to be honest, we recorded this a month or so ago. But there's a lot of great stuff in here, a lot of good information. We hope to get Robert Reich back. And when you get information that is clearly outdated, we'll step in and let you know what we think about it now. And to make things a little more complicated, we're recording this on Monday, July 11th, 2016. And there's going to be a rally on Tuesday, July 12th with Hillary Clinton. And the rumor is that Bernie Sanders, who we talk about a lot in this episode, is going to endorse her, which would, of course, change how we talked about Bernie and Hillary in this episode. But again, it's a lot of good stuff in here. We've learned from this. If you talk to big famous people, put out the episode right away.
I mean, it's there's still a lot of great stuff in it. There's still a lot of truth in it. Still, f*** the Swiss.
Wow.
That is consistent.
Wow.
That has not changed.
All right.
We have lost our four Swiss listeners.
Them. Oh, God.
I'm a person who believes things and says them. I don't care what they think.
Okay, well, but yes, please check it out. We're here with Hari Kondabolu. I'm W. Kamau Bell. This is Politically Reactive because we went through 1,000 names, Mr. Reich, and that's the one we stuck
Politically with. Reactive is great.
Okay.
I think that's just right. That's reactive, not reactionary.
Yes, yes. Thank
reactive.
You. Thank you. Me and Hari had to fight for that name. They had a lot of other names.
Well, there's politically active and there's politically reactive.
Okay, he just did the teaser for us, everybody. Let's cut that tape for the teaser. So first of all, we'll just start with you introducing yourself as if nobody knows who you are.
Okay, my name is Robert Reich. I am a professor here at Berkeley, at the University of California, Berkeley. I teach public policy. to graduate students and undergraduate students. And before that, I was I was Secretary of Labor of the United States under Bill Clinton. And before that, I was I worked in the Ford administration, in the Carter administration. God, I go back to the Lincoln administration. That was my first job.
You were an intern?
I was an intern in the Lincoln administration. Very, very hard work in those days.
Well, there's a lot of...
That was before the internet.
Yeah, there was a lot of cabin building back then.
You had to get your water outside, use the outside facilities, all that kind of stuff.
Well, suffice to say, you have a thick resume of achievements and things you've done.
Well, it's a resume. I'm not sure it's achievements. It's, you get to be my age and you get a thick resume automatically. Yeah.
I don't know. I know some people your age who don't have this many things on their resume. So
you mean they just did the same thing for 40 years?
They waited for the gold watch that never showed up?
Fewer and fewer wait for the gold watch. Actually, there are fewer jobs that you can stay in, even if you want to, for more than, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because we have a lot. You cover a lot of areas, and I'm going to let Hari jump in a second. You cover a lot of areas, and I think that we could go in any of them and find a lot to talk about. But since we sort of talked about wage inequality briefly, that's why I feel like one of the big reasons that places like fast food places need to pay a living wage is because that's actually the factory now.
Well, it's not only the factory, but we've got fast food, you've got Walmart, you've got retail workers, you've got. Restaurant, hotel workers, hospital workers. These are the new factories, the service sector, the personal service sector of the economy. This is where you've got most of the new jobs. And if people are not paid a living wage, not only can they not, by definition, live and their families, but they don't have enough money to turn around and buy stuff, which means the rest of the economy can't even function.
So, Mr. Reich, what about universal basic income? Like, I know the Swiss voted on it and turned it down, but what's stopping us from voting on it?
It's a very controversial issue, and I don't think that the United States would be ready for it for another, let's say, decade. I mean, we're having a hard enough time getting a minimum wage that is a decent minimum wage. But the idea of a basic minimum income, which has been supported even by many conservatives, Hayek, Professor Hayek of the University of Chicago was one of the first to come out in favor of it, is, as it suggests, a kind of a subsistence wage for everybody, regardless of whether you have a job, whether you are how needy you may be. But it basically says, look, we're not going to let anybody actually starve. We're not going to let anybody really suffer. We're going to make sure that everybody gets at least enough money. And this is not a fancy amount of money. This is just a very, very minimum amount of money so that they can have a roof over their heads and enough food in their bodies.
I mean, so how much does it cover? Would it be enough for people to get health insurance? Would it be enough for people to rent a reasonable place? I mean, what does it cover? And also, I assume that it also means people can choose if they want to not spend their money on certain basic things.
Yeah, it would be money that they have. And when I talk about treating people with dignity, I mean, the whole idea of a minimum basic income is that you give them the income. You don't say, well, you have to use this for food or you have to use this for shelter, which is one reason that many conservatives support it. Now, it comes in a variety of proposals. There is no standard proposal. I mean, you can make it as generous as you want, but you've got to pay for it. I mean, if it's very generous, obviously it's going to be very, very expensive. And the question then is, are you going to raise taxes on the very wealthy to provide it? I would say yes, quite frankly, because the wealthiest in the United States, for example, are wealthier than they have been ever in the history of humankind. The top 1% is taking home a larger percentage of total income and certainly total wealth in this country than in over a century. And they're paying a lower marginal income tax rate than they paid certainly in about 35 years. Higher than it was under George W. Bush, to be sure, but still way lower than it was in the 1950s, for example, under Republican Dwight Eisenhower. This is not, as I said before, an issue that conservatives and liberals fight over. I mean, conservatives came up with the concept of a minimum basic income, just like Milton Friedman, another conservative, came up with the idea of what's now an earned income tax credit, basically a wage subsidy for the very poor who are working. Well, these are conservative ideas. Liberals should find them appealing as well, and let's just stop this old liberal conservative baloney, this fight we get into, and just get on with what has to be done.
Oh, and Mr. Rice, you're allowed to say words stronger than baloney if you feel the need to.
Well, if I had to say bullshit, I would, but it's basically baloney.
Okay. It doesn't qualify as bullshit yet. It's the baloney level.
Yeah, there's too much other bullshit out there. Basically, we get into fights that are posturing between liberals and conservatives, that if you thought about the issue, you would say, well, that's obvious. Obviously something we ought to do.
All right, Hari, let's pause for a second. You like the idea of universal basic income, right?
Yes, I like it very much.
Yeah, and for me, I live in the Bay Area. It sort of reminds me of the Warriors. They are a championship team.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Yeah, so here's what happened, everybody. I had this great analogy about the Golden State Warriors being like capitalism and an economy that sustains everybody. But it all sort of swung on them being a championship team, which I was pretty cocky about at the time, and as we all know now, they weren't.
Yeah, and also Kevin Durant is now a Warrior, which is kind of irrelevant with the analogy, but that's pretty cool, huh?
Actually, it's kind of the rich getting richer. It sort of actually blows up the whole analogy of there being room for everybody, because next season the Warriors are only going to have money for four guys.
Yeah, but at the same time, think about this. Oklahoma City is only there because they left Seattle, left the good people of Seattle.
Okay, we've gone too deep in the cutaway. We got to go.
No,
stop alienating people. Enough of that. Now let's hear Robert Reich's thoughts on Senator Bernie Sanders from a month ago. And so do you think, when you look at Bernie's campaign, is there anything you see that he could have done to put himself in a better position? Because I feel like, in my mind, I feel like when Bernie started running, he actually thought he was a protest candidate. And then at some point, because of the nature of this election cycle, he became a legitimate candidate.
Well, I think Bernie Sanders probably surprised himself,
yes.
Honestly. Here he was, and is, a 74-year-old Vermont independent, not even a Democrat, Jewish, self-described social... a democratic socialist. This is not your normal candidate who's going to attract 60,000 people in Oakland, California.
Yeah.
But it's his message. Yeah. I mean, Bernie Sanders has told it like it is. He's talked about the fact that great wealth concentrated in the hands of relatively few people has corrupted our democracy. And that is not only a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's a vicious cycle, because once the democratic system is corrupted, then laws and rules and regulations start favoring those with great wealth, hurt other people. I wrote a book about this called Saving Capitalism. Might as well get a book promotion in here, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the least we can do, sir.
And you have to reverse this vicious cycle. And people understand this intuitively. They do understand now, unlike 4 or 8 years ago. It's interesting. Americans understand the game is rigged and it's fundamentally unfair. And so his message caught on. And Bernie Sanders, despite the fact that he's not young, he's not charming exactly. you wouldn't say that his great looks have.
Wow, and this is one of his surrogates.
Well, I'm just being honest. I mean, Bernie Sanders is not, the most. He's not the prototype of the young chisel chin. Yes. Politician. But it's his message that has caught on. And any politician, Republican or Democrat, anybody, and the parties themselves have got to listen to this message. They've got to understand that we are in the midst of a huge populist, anti-establishment uprising in America that has given rise to, on the, authoritarian, proto-fascist right, Donald Trump, and has also given rise, very surprisingly, to this democratic revolutionary, Bernie Sanders.
Could you explain to us what Trumponomics is? Like, he's talking about deporting undocumented immigrants, building a wall along the Mexican border, cutting taxes for the rich. How does that work?
It doesn't work. I mean, Trumponomics doesn't work. What he's saying is, I am going to cut taxes on the rich, but I am simultaneously going to stop outsourcing of jobs. I'm going to get tough with the Chinese. I'm going to also build a wall along Mexico's border, Well, how do you actually do all of this? If you turn isolationist, you're going to make the economy slow.
Hold up, wait a minute.
Yeah, so once again, we recorded this in the past. This was clearly recorded before Brexit and the sun officially set on the British Empire, but there you go.
Apparently, when you Brexit, you buy it. Ah, that should have been a tweet.
Yeah, that should have been a tweet.
And if the economy actually slows or goes into recession, which could very well do if Donald Trump is putting walls around America, then how do you generate enough tax revenue to even keep the system going, even pay Social Security and Medicare and the military? I mean, he says that he is open, or his people say that they are open to maybe changing Medicare, maybe changing Social Security, maybe cutting Social Security and Medicare. Well, to me, that's not exactly the direction we want to go in. I mean, we've got one of the great successes of the 1930s and 1960s was reducing poverty among the elderly. You don't want to go backwards.
So where does Hillary Clinton fit in? What kind of economic changes can we expect from the Clinton presidency? I know that Hillary is putting Bill in charge of revitalizing the economy. How does one do that? What is the plan?
It's sort of Bernie light. That is, she wants to raise taxes a little bit on the very wealthy. She wants to invest a little bit more in education and infrastructure. She wants to not have a $15 minimum wage, but maybe a $12 minimum wage. She wants to not bust up the biggest banks, but put them on notice that if there are problems, she'll bust them up.
I mean, she wants to go, you guys,
I mean,
stop it.
It's fine.
All right, again, so we recorded this a few weeks ago, so honestly, we really don't know if Robert Rice still thinks that Hillary and the Democrats' platform is Bernie light. I mean, since then, Hillary has raised her minimum wage to $15. So, Hari, tell you what, pull up Robert Reich's Facebook page and see if he said anything about the Democrats recently.
Sure, pulling it up, Reich. No, that's former Bills quarterback Frank Reich. Robert Reich. Okay, this is from Saturday, July 9th. That Democratic Party platform won't oppose the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is a sad commentary on the continuing power of global corporations to dictate party policy whenever that policy might otherwise conflict with their goals. The Democrats' failure to oppose the TPP also gives Donald Trump, who is unambiguously against it, a Trump card he doesn't deserve. Incredibly stupid.
Damn.
You down with TPP? Not if you're Robert Reich.
Look, I've known her since she was 19 years old. I have great respect for her. I think she would be an extremely able and good president of the system we now have. I think Bernie Sanders would change the system we now have into something we need. But both of them are, you know, light years better than Donald Trump.
Well, then how do Democrats mobilize Bernie supporters? I mean, you know, you have these relatively young, idealistic group of people who maybe for the first time are involved in politics because of Bernie Sanders. How do you then tell them, well, now Bernie didn't win, let's go with Hillary Clinton because she's what we have left? I mean, how do you mobilize that base?
I've been contemplating that question. I think one of the biggest challenges, how does Hillary Clinton, how does the Democratic Party actually mobilize Bernie Sanders supporters, get them to vote for Hillary Clinton? I mean, one way, I suppose, is just to reveal Donald Trump for all his, you know, right-wing crazy, and I use the kind of proto-neo-fascist word advisedly. I mean, I think he is really nuts. He intimidates. He is a bigot. I mean, he has shown himself to legitimize discrimination against African Americans, against Jews, against Muslims, against people who are immigrants, Mexicans. He said things that you would never, ever, ever expect a presidential candidate to say, not because of political correctness, but because of decency. I mean, fundamental decency.
The social contract.
Well, we do have a social contract in this country. And so, you know, one way Democrats can mobilize is just to reveal Donald Trump for who he is. But I think that's not enough. I think there's got to be a vision. Maybe not exactly Bernie Sanders' vision, but it's got to be close to a vision that Bernie Sanders has generated for what this country can be, what it must do.
So the last question we'll ask you, because we know you have to go. It's funny you said you have to go grade papers. I assume you had to go finish saving the world, but you're
well,
a professor.
Grading papers and saving the world are very closely related.
Okay, okay.
My students are going to be change agents.
There you go. Okay. Got a degree in change agents from the University of California, Berkeley.
Those are the only degrees we actually provide here at Berkeley.
So my question is, you have famously told the story about, now, you just mentioned you've known Hillary since she was 19. The story's been told that you guys went on a date back in the day?
Well, a date is a little bit fancy way of describing it. She was president of her freshman class at her college. I was president of my sophomore class at my college. I suggested a presidential summit.
Oh, so it was like a power couple celebrity thing.
It was like I don't know. I mean, we went to see Antonioni's movie called Blow Up.
Reality is the strangest fantasy of all.
Oh.
Blow up.
And when the New York Times in 2008, apparently they found a collection of her letters from college and they called me. She had mentioned, they said that she went out on a date with me and they asked me about that date. I couldn't remember it.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I thought, oh, that's really rude. You know, that would be bad. And then I gradually did remember it as this reporter started talking about what was in the letter. And then he said, well, what can you tell us about this date that may shed light on how she would perform as president of the United States? And I thought that was such a stupid question that I said with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek, well, she wanted an inordinate amount of butter on her popcorn. And then there was dead silence, and I thought he hung up on me because he thought I was being just a smartass.
Yeah.
And I said, hello, are you still there? And he said, oh, yes, I'm just writing this all down.
Yeah, he just wanted, that's our headline. We just got our headline.
Yeah, I mean, my Lord. Yeah.
So my question is, as a comedian, the hardest situation to be in is when I'm in the room with people I've told jokes about or actually made targets of jokes, which is why I try to only make targets of jokes people who I think, yeah, you deserve this. You must still be in that circle. You must see Hillary and Bill out. You must get invited to those parties. What is it like to be in the room with the Clintons now that you have firmly put yourself in Bernie camp?
And well, also, to tell you the truth, I never really was in those circles. I mean, even when I was Secretary of Labor, I honestly, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I just don't like, you know, the big receptions and the White House parties and the kind of getting together, schmoozing with the big journalists and the start. I just don't like it. It just doesn't make me feel comfortable. So I never did it. Mm-hmm. I just made up excuses why I could never do it. And I never did it. I've never done it since. And now that I've backed Bernie, I'll never get invited to a White House Christmas party if Hillary has becomes the next president. I don't care. Really?
Yeah.
I take governing very seriously. I mean, I really do. I did and I do. But all of the trappings, the self-important trappings that go with all of that, I kind of detest.
Well,
have I made myself clear?
You've made yourself absolutely clear. You feel like it's baloney, in other words.
It's bullshit.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we're going to let you go because you have more saving the world to do and more releasing of change agents in the world. But if you have time, please come back again.
I will. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us is what I was trying to say, which is not the right thing to say. But thank you for having us.
Good.
So, Hari, what did we learn today?
I learned that Donald Trump is an idiot. And it has been verified by Robert Reich, who is very smart.
Yes. I also learned that no matter how anti-capitalism people think you are, you still manage to slip in a promo for your book.
Oh, I noticed that too.
Also, buy his book, Saving Capitalism. I learned that me and Robert Reich have a lot in common, or maybe just one thing. Neither one of us likes to hang out with the people that we make fun of.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I love the fact that he is kind of the you of presidential politics. He doesn't want to hobnob with me. He doesn't want to. He lives in Berkeley. He lives in the Bay Area. He got away from where the business is.
Oh.
He just wants to do the stuff he loves to do.
I think I'm going to put that in my bio. W. Kamau Bell is the Robert Reich of comedy. And then I'll put your name after it. I learned that Hillary Clinton, not a particularly fun first date.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, he said that he forgot it, which I think was a lie. I have a feeling what happened was he tricked her on a date and was like, hey, you know, we should have a presidential cabinet meeting. And she was like, well, why would nobody does that? We're in college. He's like, yeah, but we should totally do that. and see this movie, I guess.
Oh, you think he did the thing? I've done that where you go, hey, we really need to go see this art exhibit because it's important that we see this art exhibit.
Yeah, yeah. No, we should get some drinks afterwards and get to know each other.
Hey, this is us in the present, or at least more present than we were at what you just heard in that interview. And one thing I've learned is don't hold an interview that long ever again.
Yeah, I guess we should have put out that Kevin Durant interview from 3 months ago, huh?
Oh, the one where he was like, the Warriors. Them.
Yeah, that's
them.
Yeah, that's the one.
The Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. It was basically just him repeating that for an hour. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. You can expect a new episode every week through the election. We've got some great ideas for guests and future episodes from you, the listeners. So please keep those coming. Just tweet us with the hashtag #PoliticallyReactive.
If you haven't done so, hit that subscribe button on whatever you're using to listen to the show. And maybe think about leaving us like a 5-star review. It's a helpful way to help us spread the word for a new show like ours.
And if you're really feeling us, check out some of our other projects. I've got a new album coming out on July 22nd on Kill Rockstars called Mainstream American Comic, which you can pre-order now at killrockstars.com/hurry. Also, I'm about to go on a big tour from July 29th to August 6th. I'm going to be in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Brooklyn and Portland, Maine, so I need to see you there.
And I've got some other cool projects too, like a podcast called Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time, period, and my live radio show and podcast, Kamau Right Now. You can check it out tonight by tuning your Bay Area dial to KALW 91.7 or going to KALW.org from anywhere you like at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Politically Reactive is a production of First Look Media and is distributed by Panoply. The team includes Nick Borenstein, Lisa Langang, Erica Moo, and Max Jacobs. The show is engineered by Ted Muldoon. Thanks again to Robert Reich for joining us. Do check out his most recent book, Saving Capitalism, and check out his latest commentary on the election and economic issues at his website, robertreich.org. Thanks to Northgate Studios in Berkeley and Dungeon Beach in Brooklyn. And thanks to Brontez Purnell for providing music for the show.
All right, all right, Harry. So, yeah, we're going to figure out the tech stuff. Sorry about this.
It's all good.
It might be just a simple solution of getting a new co-host, but we'll figure it out. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Have a good day.
Okay, that sounds great, man. I'll,
Panoply. When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.